Working from home helps boost profits for Samsung. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Smartphones, televisions and home appliances helped Samsung's profits for the first quarter hit their highest level since the pandemic began last March. It follows Apple's impressive financial results for the same period. Both companies have done well during the pandemic as customers choose to upgrade their phones, laptops and other devices as they work from home. Samsung is the world's largest maker of memory chips and has experienced a spike in demand due to a global shortage. However, the ripple effect on the costs of production has hit their bottom line, an issue they're hoping to resolve over the next few months, as Cho Mu-yun, who writes for ZDNet in Seoul, explained to me.
They did launch their latest flagship, Galaxy S21, earlier than they usually do. So they're fully aware that they have to sustain this performance. And demand for TVs and appliances in general were already high, but a lot of economies, especially in North America and Europe, are trying to stimulate the economy. So there was a lot of pent-up demand for that.
So how are the next few months looking for Samsung?
For the coming quarter, they did unveil just yesterday their latest notebook. They did see unusually high demand for tablets and PCs in the first quarter. And they are expecting that to continue through the second quarter. So the hope is that launch of the notebook and some continuation of smartphone sales will sustain their profit until the third quarter, where they're going to unveil a new set of phones, foldable smartphones.
It's had a little bit of a hit to its chips business, though, because of the global shortage has meant demand has been pretty high, and so therefore production costs have been up.
Well, Samsung's lackluster performance of chips is actually not really due to the chip shortage, because Samsung is an integrated device manufacturer. That's a semiconductor term for a company that designs their own chips. Samsung sells both memory and logic chips. Logic chips are processors, the brain work of the computer, so to speak, and memory is Samsung's mainstay right now. A lot of customers are readjusting the inventory for memory. So the memory prices has gone down. So that is actually the more significant factor that is affecting Samsung's chip business bottom line. Now, when it comes to the chip shortage, there was a halt in the Austin plant. There was a huge power outage that caused the factory to stop. And there was a lot of damages. They had to throw away these chips that were in production. The foundry situation is actually interesting because Samsung is reviewing adding another fabrication plant. They might build it in Texas. They might build it in Korea. They say they're open to all options. But one thing about semiconductor facilities is that they have to run 24/7, which means if they increase the capacity now because there's a shortage and a lot of customers are ordering in bulk, they have to make the calculation of how long this will last. Because once the shortage ends, these facilities are just sitting there. And it costs billions of dollars to just maintain this facility. So it's a very complicated equation for Samsung right now.
Cho Mu-yun in Seoul, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Facing Europe's highest infection levels, Turkey will enter a lockdown on Thursday that will see schools and businesses shut for nearly 3 weeks. It was announced on Monday, and the new restrictions will limit travel and instruct people to stay at home until about mid-May. Kagil Kasapoglu is from the BBC's Turkish service. She has this report.
People will have to stay at home except for essential shopping trips and urgent medical treatments. Schools are back to home learning, and alcohol sales are being limited. Scientists are welcoming this decision as they see it as a necessary move. But there are concerns over the length of this lockdown, as some argue that it is not long enough to stop the rise in cases. And there is the added pressure of vaccine supplies running low. The country's economy is rather fragile at present. The opposition party has criticized the government for not providing any stimulus packages to offset the impact of these new restrictions. However, there is hope that if the virus is managed well, borders will be open to tourists this summer.
That was the BBC's Kagil Kasapoglu. So let's check in with the markets now. Here in London, oil giant Shell has posted better than expected profits thanks to higher oil and gas prices. Apparently, we're driving a bit more than we did last year. As electric cars become more popular, the demand for lithium, the metal that powers them, is gaining momentum. Chile is one of the world's largest sources of the precious metal, but as mining companies rush to unearth the white gold, critics say they aren't doing enough to help the indigenous communities living nearby. The BBC's Jane Chambers travelled to the salt flats of the Atacama Desert to find out more.
This is the sound of brine being extracted from ancient reserves beneath the Atacama Desert. This is not your typical mine. It's a vast expanse of off-white rock. Beneath it, you find this very salty substance known as brine, which is pumped up to get the all-important lithium. There are lots of indigenous communities living near here. Some are anti the mine, some are in favour of it. Just an hour's drive away from the lithium plant is the small village of Tocanao, home to Chile's highest vineyard. It's here I'm met by Wilfredo Cruz González, president of the local wine cooperative.
We've been here for 12,000 years. The Spanish came here to convert us to Catholicism. They brought over their grapes varieties and show us how to make sweet wine for church services.
Wilfredo's wine cooperative is made up of 18 associates and their families. They come from the local indigenous community and produce and sell their wine to restaurants and nearby tourist hotspots. And the local lithium plant, which is operated by SQM, is helping them with their project, as the Vice President of Environment and Community Affairs, Alejandro Buche, explains.
We started working with them on how to produce better wine suited for this weather. And we believe that it's important that the company, it's a good neighbour and it's part of the progress of the different communities around here.
Although SQM has pledged $10 to $15 million a year to help indigenous communities like the one at Tocanao, not everyone thinks they're a good neighbour. The Key Indigenous Association rejected their money because they say they weren't properly consulted by the state company COFO, the agency which operates lithium concessions in the country. SQM are often accused of misusing valuable water resources, something which they deny, but Alejandro admits it's been important for them to change their attitude.
We've been evolving, so the last years we've been trying to take that view into account of what the people really feel about the project, what they want around the project and what they want about the community.
The lithium boom has divided communities. While some welcome the economic benefits, there's a lot of mistrust over the true intentions of the huge corporations operating here. Companies like SQM know they need to keep working at getting it right and trying to live in harmony within the fragile ecosystem they're part of. In Chile, I'm the BBC's Jane Chambers for Marketplace.
Before we go, China has launched a key module of a new permanent space station. The idea is to be fully operational by next year, with living quarters for three crew. Weekends in space it is. In London, I'm Vishala Sripatma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.